Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode. All right, Michael. So what makes a software solution enterprise class?
It has to work with big companies.
Close. Is it the trustworthiness of the vendor?
That definitely is part of the equation.
Okay. Is it how well the product is supported after the sale process is done?
To be enterprise, I would say that's a must.
Okay. Or do you think the solution's ability to scale with your growth and ambitions for the company as a property manager is really important as well?
If it can't scale with you, it definitely is not enterprise.
Well, all of your answers are correct, my friend, which is why property management companies are switching to Track hospitality software, because Track's powerful native functionality offers everything you need to run a modern hospitality business. From booking engines to owner portals and trust accounting, Track's built-in tools are designed to work beautifully together and scale with you. Best of all, Track's growing list of integrations makes it easy to plug into your tech stack for the ultimate flexibility. So if you want to learn more, all of our Good Morning Hospitality listeners have a dedicated link in our show notes, and we're excited for you to check it out. Now, back to the episode.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels and short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are we doing?
You got a different background, Will. Where are you?
Oh, you know, just in nice old Scottsdale, Arizona for the Level Up Your Listing Summit.
All right.
So, Will, how did you get invited to an all-women's conference?
Well, you know, I'm just that cool. They really needed someone to really carry the... I'm just kidding. So Natalie and Tatiana, who are putting on the conference, they're in the podcast network, and they're like, Will, we got to have you on stage. But you're not a woman, so you're not going to be able to be a speaker. But we need a good MC. And yeah, so that's why I'm doing it. You know, going to bring the heat. Going to get the women all amped up for the week up. Let's go.
No one can do it better than you, Will.
No one. I actually need the pep talk first before I go on stage, because it's a little intimidating.
I'd be pretty nervous.
Yeah. It's gonna be intense. Thankfully, I know most of the speakers, so that will be nice. I'll have like a good, it's already a good rapport. But yeah, I'm excited. I might have to do a couple dance moves. Apparently, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. So it's nice to see a conference as well in the industry that is actually changing the way that they've done it. Like, all the vendor booths are custom made, and no one, like, from a sponsorship side has to bring anything outside of some swag if you want it. But yeah, it's pretty cool to see what they're doing and building the experience. So shout out to Natalie, Tatiana, if they're listening or watching the live. We're going to rock it this week, so let's go. But yeah, you get to also see the AirDNA team, so it's going to be fun. Lots of people. How are you guys doing? What's up with you?
Doing good. I've got a conference myself this week out in Salt Lake City, so heading out midweek.
What conference is that?
It is a genealogical conference tying in with Storied Collection. We're releasing a feature where you can search by your last name and find a property that could have been or might be in your family tree. So what better place to do that than a genealogical conference in Salt Lake City?
No better spot to do it. Jamie, how about you? Do you have any conferences this week? Next week?
Not this week, but I'll be at the Verma Spring Forum next week in Kansas City. So excited about that. First time to Kansas City.
Okay. First time for
everything. Barbecue place is what I've heard.
Yeah. And I've spent time in other barbecue hotspots around the country. So excited to get some Kansas City barbecue and then heading to Denver after that for the rest of the week. So yes. The week on the road next week.
Good old Denver. Gotta love it.
Nice.
38 HQ.
With Jamie on the show today, we always get a little more analytical than Will and I are capable of. So
agreed.
Welcome, Jamie. Glad to have
you. Welcome back.
We're going to be going through this week a lot of the earnings calls that we heard over the past few weeks from Expedia, Booking, Airbnb, and then touching on a couple of the hotel chains and what some of the snippets that Jamie's picked out on some of their earnings calls.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jamie, where do we even begin? There was a lot of them.
Yeah, there were a lot. It's sort of earnings and past really 3 weeks. And I was surprised to hear, Will, that when we were chatting beforehand, that you don't listen to all the earnings calls. Media gold.
It's got to be media gold, but I'm like, dude, that's a lot. It's a lot to take in. Got a lot of other stuff going on. I got to find someone to free up my time.
So, and the big ones for the short-term rental industry, obviously Expedia, which owns Vrbo, Airbnb, and then Booking.com. And I was thinking maybe we could start with Expedia because I feel like they had the biggest sort of release or something that they talked about that impacted both hotels and short-term rentals. And that's going to be the launch of One Key in 2023. I don't know if you guys have been following, but really since they bought Vrbo and HomeAway, and there was the goal of getting to a single platform that housed all their brands, and they're finally going to get there this year. And with that, what that sort of unlocks for them is they're going to launch a single loyalty program across all their brands. And it's going to be, I think, a big impact of what does loyalty actually mean for the short-term rental industry? Because we've never really had a major loyalty program in the past. I think.
No, I mean, I think the closest loyalty program that's out there is Marriott's, and that's pretty much a closed user group, right?
What does loyalty actually mean for?
So, I mean, personally, I've never used the only loyalty group that I'm a big part of is Delta, as everybody knows that's watched this show. But I mean, I think being able to unlock a new asset class is going to help drive those redemptions of hotel nights now in short-term rental locations.
I'm not concerned, maybe is not the right word, but for one brand, I guess, does this mean Expedia is just Expedia and everything listed is going to be Expedia? Or are you talking like One Key is just going to be kind of like the, you can apply it, whether it's a hotel or a short-term rental?
Yeah, so my understanding is you're going to be able to earn points across all their brands in one system. Gotcha. So if you book a flight on Expedia or book a short-term rental through Vrbo, you're earning all part of the same point system and then can use those points across platforms as well. So, and if you... think like on the margin, if I'm going to book and let's say the same home is listed on Vacasa, Vrbo, or Airbnb, and if, let's say it's the same price across all three, like I'm going to book it through Vrbo because I'm going to be able to earn some points.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that they're banking on. They found that people that sort of use their loyalty members and are much more profitable. They sort of drive repeat business. And for Expedia that spends so much on marketing of sort of driving bookings through their platform, if you get people that are just going directly to their app to make those bookings, that could have a really big impact on their business.
Well, it's going to completely destroy the Book Direct. Like, everything. Not to bring down like that cloud of sadness, but it's true. It's like everyone's why would anyone book direct if they can just get all their points with all travel? If the price is
the same.
Yeah.
If there's still a 15% discrepancy, then yes, there's a benefit to booking direct. I think booking.com has had this genius program, which you hit different levels and you get different discounts. Airbnb, their response in their Q4 earnings was pretty funny. The best loyalty program is building a product people love so much, they want to come back. You don't have to pay them to come back. I bet that this tune will change if Expedia starts eating some market share back, Vrbo starts eating it back. Airbnb's talked about doing a loyalty program too. So just sounds like they're way behind the eight ball. And this is Airbnb's, we're a better brand than everybody in the world response.
Do you think they can get away with it though? Do you think they can get away with no loyalty program at all? Like if everyone else does one, but they don't, do you think that their platform will still be the dominant short-term rental one?
No. If Expedia starts to get a lot of users using it, the loyalty program, or using Expedia because of the loyalty program, it won't take 2 quarters for Airbnb to launch theirs.
Yeah.
I mean, I would book on Airbnb at that point.
Right. And across all other forms of travel or the big brands, like, and you book Delta, and if there's maybe even a slightly different price differentiation, like you're going to choose Delta over the other option because of the loyalty program. Right. And booking Hilton versus Marriott, if you're a Marriott guy or a Hilton guy, and that's going to incrementally sort of change your behavior. And I do feel like loyalty programs could do that. I agree. I think it's going to push Airbnb to do one, maybe not in 2023, but maybe a 2024 reaction.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I never book flights on Expedia. So when I'm doing travel, I'm never going to book through them, even if it is a loyalty program type deal. If I'm going to book a hotel, it's going to be on Marriott and it's going to be through my Bonvoy membership. So what do you think their, I guess, ideal acquisition would be from other loyalty users? Because I get the whole trip, like you can book a rental car, you can book the flight, you can book the hotel or the short-term rental. So that would be like the only factor I would say would drive me as a loyalist to another brand, like Michael is to Delta, I am to Alaska or to either any other airline. So how would they try to acquire loyalty users from other programs if they're really already loyal? Like I'm never going to switch from the Marriott side. Like that's just how it is. I love my points. Yeah. I love my loyalty status. Like it has the perks.
I get it. And I would never switch from Delta, but at the same time, I'm not loyal. You're not loyal to an airline. I'm not loyal to a hotel chain. Mm-hmm. So you can build, if I can build points by booking at Marriott and Hilton and Hyatt and IHG, that's better for me because I'm not a brand loyalist to one of those. Mm-hmm. Now Delta, different for me flying out of Atlanta, like it's pretty much all the flights would be Delta anyway.
Yeah.
But there's, and this could be, maybe you can backstop this, Jamie, but a quick Google search. There's almost 19 million users of Expedia per year. So it doesn't, you know, the three of us on this call are well-versed in travel. This is our life, but there's 19 million people a year that are booking through Expedia that probably do multiple trips or multiple bookings. And this is going to cause them to be more loyal than going to Airbnb or going to to Booking.
Very true.
Cool. Yeah, pretty interesting chart, Will, if you can bring it up. We all know that Vrbo was the lifeblood of Expedia during COVID. But this is pretty shocking to me that it has remained a much higher share of Expedia's total revenue post-COVID. Almost double, it looks like. So, Jamie, you want to dive into that?
Yeah, and so these are my estimates, not something that Expedia reports. So we're tracking bookings coming through Vrbo and estimating their sort of total impact on Expedia's revenues. But yeah, I think it shows the and persistence of and of Vrbo on the business, of how strong bookings have remained, even in the areas that Vrbo is most dominant in, sort of those destination resort areas, whether it's in mountain areas, whether it's coastal destination, and demand's still been really strong. Vrbo's added a ton of supply to their platform over the past year or two, which has really helped them sort of maintain the revenue gains, even as sort of hotels have come back and flights have come back as a share of Expedia's revenues. So I'd expect hotels and flights have been some of the fastest growers in terms of booking activity and revenue growth, but not really putting a dent yet, given and all the supply that's been coming onto Vrbo. They have actually been expanding some into sort of cities, which we hadn't really seen pre-pandemic. So maybe they get some traction there. But yeah, it's still and mostly dominant for them in the destination areas.
Do you think it's doing that? Because I think we talked, maybe not last time that you were on the show, but the time before, where it was going into how Vrbo's definitely been the platform where only vacation homes are. Like, they're not doing shared properties, they're not doing spare bedrooms, they're not doing a lot of urban activity. Do you think a lot of this activity or this growth is due to that? They've held strong with that, or is it just, you know, I don't know what else could drive people away from Airbnb in the sense of booking, knowing that, especially being here at this conference, just hearing people talk about short-term rentals. Again, we all know they Airbnb it, or they call it an Airbnb X, Y, and Z, all that stuff. So yeah, I'm just kind of curious on what your thoughts are maybe on the Vrbo growth due to that.
And I think it's and primarily a rising tide lifts all boats. Like there's just so much tailwind for the industry that it's and we're and across all platforms we're seeing that growth. And we can jump down into and what we saw from Airbnb and when you look at the three major platforms, like Booking.com's revenues were up 36% last quarter. Airbnbs were up 24%. Expedia's were up 15%. Like, just the massive growth that the travel industry is seeing right now is really helping everyone. But if we even looked at direct bookings for the industry, they'd even be up. Like, it's not that anyone's stealing share away right now. It's just there's tailwinds across all different aspects of the business.
Is it growth, Jamie, or is it still recovery rebounds? I mean, it sounds like we're actually charting into growth from 2019 highs.
Yeah. So, yeah, across the three platforms, it's all growth now. They've all recovered now from to 2019 levels, and now they're sort of into expansionary mode. Airbnb is definitely the biggest in expansionary mode. Though Vrbo, as a piece of Expedia's business, was definitely in expansionary mode last year and continuing on today.
Well, let's quickly touch on some of Booking's comments during their earnings call. One that I think I've seen consistently across every earnings call for the past decade of Booking is strengthen their position in the U.S. market. Are they strengthening it at all at this point, Jamie, or is it still an aspirational
point? Yeah, I think they have been strengthening it, but as a maybe a piece of their business, but not necessarily as a piece of I'm taking share away from the others yet. Just given how strong the U.S. has been relative to Europe and the rest of the world in terms of just overall travel activity. And I think what was a big surprise for me was just how strong alternative accommodations are growing for them. And maybe it's just the US bias that I have of sitting here in Atlanta and just not seeing and not using booking.com as a regular source of alternative lodging, of short-term rental bookings. But it's 30% of booking.com's total room nights, and they grew that 56% in 2022. So, and really strong growth that they'd seen, and they're now above 2019 levels for their alternative accommodation bookings.
I think a lot of that goes to another topic that they've been talking about a lot lately, which is their payments platform. It was, at least in the vacation rental side, I'm not sure on the hotel or flight side, but on the alternative accommodation side, booking has been fraught with fraud and issues with payments. So I have heard it is getting better. They've gotten some alternative structures for payments, but it's still not perfect. People are still having some issues. So I have to assume the growth of alternative accommodations comes with the bettering of the payments platform, and booking can be a force, especially once European travelers are coming back to the States in the troves that they were, but they just mm-hmm. aren't at this point. And that's where we saw a lot of bookings on the booking platform in gateway cities, Chicago, Miami, New York, Orlando, but you don't see them in the destination markets as much. So they've got a long way to go to strengthen the competition with Vrbo in those markets, and even Airbnb in the urban markets, outside of their kind of core strength of Europeans to gateway cities.
Well, they definitely, they definitely had the payment issue in the hotel world as well. I know that for a fact, the amount of chargebacks that came through, the amount of fraudulent cards, especially due to their virtual card, because they're allowing guests to prepay and then giving the hotel a virtual booking card, was kind of the worst experience. So, I'm pretty sure a lot of that growth has to do with their payments rather than all the fraudulent charges coming back. They're probably actually seeing revenue now.
And then any highlights on Airbnb, or are they just still a PR machine that wants everyone to look at them and see the shiny objects?
Yeah, and they definitely surprised to the upside. And they beat analyst expectations across really all metrics. There's quite a few people, I think, sort of buying into the Airbnb bust mentality and expecting them to underperform. Them sort of breaking that. And something that sort of blew my mind when I read it and heard them talking about it was around their headcount being down 5%. While their revenues were up 75% compared to 2019. And in the sort of austerity mindset that we're, and the sort of tech industry is in now, and all the bloat that these companies sort of saw during the past 3 years and all the hiring that they'd seen, that Airbnb was, and we saw the sort of layoffs that all the hospitality companies did in 2020. But even with their sort of full recovery and demand and revenues growing, and it seems like, and all these groups have been really disciplined in hiring and focusing on profitability, and probably a great thing given the uncertainty that we have going forward, or where even if we did see some weakness in hospitality demand, which I'm not expecting, but if we did, and that they wouldn't have to do rounds of layoffs or big rounds, that it would, they've been very controlled in their hiring.
And say so they, Yeah, out of all the ones that... Go ahead.
There's a lag. Go ahead, Will.
Nope, go ahead. I pause. I'm going to try to fix my internet.
So I think a lot of that, Jamie, goes down to focus too. So Vrbo focused on what they do well. They killed the urban segment. Airbnb focused on short-term rentals. They didn't, they killed flights. They killed, you know, all these different tangents that they were running down. And I think that's probably a good lesson for all of us is it's fun to chase the shiny object that's right around the corner, but it's a lot more profitable focusing on what you do well and executing. And it seems like that's where especially Vrbo and Airbnb are. And it, judging by the numbers, it looks like Booking is on the same track.
So the thing that got me most excited on the earnings calls is and that Airbnb is going to continue on their sort of brand campaigns. And this, in my opinion, like just helps everyone. And regardless of your opinion on Airbnb or and whether you like them, hate them, they've brought more awareness globally to all short-term rentals as an accommodation option. And that the more that they push into the mainstream of people thinking about using short-term rentals for all forms of travel, it just like it becomes an option that maybe wasn't an option for guests in the past. And so they're going to, I think it's Airbnb it, their campaign for 2023.
I love it. They brought this whole awareness to a castle segment that a lot of people didn't know you could stay in. So you can stay in castles, people. And
I wonder why that was your big one, your favorite one.
There's better places to book than Airbnb. So...
If you had to do one Airbnb it campaign, each of you, who would you have do your campaign for you as a commercial?
I got one.
Go Bring ahead.
It. I'd have Elon Musk on the International Space Station.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Dang.
Yeah.
Jamie, you got to have one. I know you've been thinking about this. You've been thinking about if you could have any favorite celebrity be your Airbnb at campaigner, who would it be? Come on.
Yeah.
Now you got one.
I don't know.
I got another one. James Cameron on a submarine in the Titanic at the bottom of the ocean. Stay a night in the Titanic.
Oxygen masks included, hopefully.
You'd stay in the submarine.
Yeah, there you go. Okay,
that yeah. works. And just their ability to sort of stay in the zeitgeist of like whatever the big trend is and get sort of and someone like, I don't know if you guys watched White Lotus, but then like immediately after season two was over, like the plaza that and the group was in was on Airbnb. And sort of build off that. I would love to see like some celebrities in the ad campaign and just, and people figuring out like I'm going to Airbnb this and I'm sort of competing on what's the wildest thing they could Airbnb. And that I feel like that would be a fun campaign.
Fun fact from White Lotus though, the Aperol Spritz drink went skyrocketing in sales throughout the country. And
so did stays in Sicily.
Yeah, that too. But I thought the Aperol Spritz piece, like I think went like up 800% from like what people normally order. So interesting fact.
Yeah. There's a stat, I think we shared on a show several months ago, but 44% of travel inspiration is from television.
Hmm. Wow.
So it's
a lot more than I would
half
expect.
Of the inspirations of travel comes from what you watch on TV.
What if you don't watch TV? Never travel.
How can you be inspired, Will?
Yeah, true. There you go.
Last point, just to touch on a couple of hotels. Marriott discussed the launch of the Ritz-Carlton yacht, and they also discussed the Apartments by Marriott, neither of which are live yet, but it shows traditional accommodation wanting to get into branded alternative experiences. So all in all, I think a good, interesting trend from probably the thought leader of hotels, which is Marriott.
Yeah, and then I really picked up on the sort of the long-term stays continuing. Both Marriott and Airbnb called it out. So Marriott seeing their business trips, length of stay is still 20% above 2019 levels. Airbnb still seeing 21% of their bookings greater than 28 days or longer. And it is, and I don't know if you guys see in the cities you're in, but and offices are still dead Monday and Friday. And even with the announced sort of return to the office, most companies are at max calling for 2 or 3 days in the office. And this work from home trend is going to, I think, still be a huge tailwind for travel. The flexibility is one of those things that I think is going to be the sort of long-term game changer for our industry. Coming out of COVID, of just people can travel, just way more opportunity to travel than they ever had in the past because of the flexibility away from work.
Yep. Yeah, I think when ADR is compressed just a little bit, travel is going to just go insane. But we're still pretty high, it feels like. Maybe it'll keep going up, but I don't know how sustained that can be. Anyway, Jamie, I always wrap up with this question to you, which is, if I'm an investor, what market should I buy in? But you don't have to answer it today because your team has answered it today as the AirDNA Fact of the Week, our latest segment that started last week. So in terms of small and mid-sized cities, Jamie, the top three places you can buy are Fairbanks, Alaska, Evansville, Indiana, in Rockford, Illinois. I've heard of one of those places. Evansville looks like it's in the middle of nowhere, and Rockford looks like a Chicago suburb. But the things you're getting with these in Fairbanks, a low regulation risk, which is a good thing for anybody that focuses on short-term rentals. Evansville, the entry price of houses are pretty low and the ADRs are decent. Entry level prices on housing is 116K and the ADR you can get there is 129 bucks. It also scored really low on regulation risk. And then Rockford, pretty high ADR, 175 bucks a night. So for people who don't want to stay city center in Chicago, it's a good alternative.
Yeah, so we put out this report. It's by far our most popular report that we put out each year. And the broad trend this year was the impact of housing prices. So 2022 in general, housing prices just soared. And we're seeing some weakness now sort of in like the last quarter. But in an environment where short-term rental revenues were largely flat and as an industry, like 2022, we didn't see much growth. Housing prices were up 20, 30, sometimes 40% across the country. That just made the affordability of short-term rentals for investors and decrease in a lot of areas. And the sort of the common thread of most of our best places to invest were areas where just housing prices didn't grow by much. Short-term rental revenue stayed and actually grew in these areas. So the relative investability went up, and that's broadly how we saw people investing in 2022 was they're looking for affordability. Small and mid-sized cities saw the most growth across all the location types that we track. So that's actually where people were investing their dollars too. So, and it was a broad trend that we saw over the past year.
Jamie, is there a direct correlation, maybe with a 2-year lag, of top 10 markets you have in reports that are low regulation risk with 2 years later being high regulation risk because a lot of people bought in those markets?
I've actually gone back and looked and it, no, it's not.
Oh, wow. Of course, you're prepared with an answer.
Yeah.
I thought I stumped you.
You definitely see sort of the local articles coming out after we release these lists of like, wait, why is our city good to invest? Like, do we want actually people investing in it?
Those articles out. We want people investing in our community?
Right.
No.
Stay away. Please do not stay in our market.
Yeah. Do not spend your money at our businesses. How dare you? Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, enjoyed it. Will, have a great MC session. I want to see the video of you dancing on stage. Please. For anyone listening to the show today, please send this in to us that I can share next week.
Yeah, that'll be happening tonight. So it's going to be fun. I got to do my stretches, you know, stretch my back from that long flight out here, but no, we'll be good.
Lord have mercy.
Well, yeah, good episode, you guys. Thank you, Jamie, again, for always bringing in the data, bringing in the stuff that Michael and I, like, I don't know how you listen to all those earning calls, but good on you. I'll try to get better. Maybe, get my assistant to help me out with that, but yeah.
And thanks for all the swag. Loving my Good Morning Hospitality shirt and mug.
Yeah.
Anyone else wants one, there's a link in the show notes.
Amen. There we go. You guys are doing all the promo for me. I don't even need to be here today. Awesome. Well, thank you guys. And we'll see you all again next week.